One of ancient Israel's most famed prophets was Elijah, but the Bible prophesies of another man fulfilling the role of Elijah to appear in this end time. This Elijah was prophesied to proclaim a family message just before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. The truth is, this latter-day Elijah has already come and gone. According to the Bible, that means a time of unparalleled suffering is rapidly approaching. Understand the end-time Elijah's deep God family message and the urgency it should add to your life. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. One of the greatest prophecies in all the Bible is in Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. And Jesus Christ and the disciples underlined the importance of that prophecy by talking about it in the New Testament. And you can see that in almost any Bible that's brought out. But it also talks about Elijah the prophet and a wonderful world that's coming. And Elijah the prophet is right in the midst of that scenario. And that Elijah, that end time Elijah, has already come and gone. And we've been proving that for years. But you need to prove it for yourself if you have not, because it's one of the most amazing and stirring prophecies that you'll ever read about in the Bible. You also need to understand why that end time Elijah came, and I'm talking about one real human being that God said would come and do a lot of amazing things in this end time just before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he's come and gone, so the message is certainly urgent. Notice Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So Christ was discussing this very prophecy in Matthew 17, and I'll read it to you in a moment. And right there in your center reference, you'll see that it refers you to Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. So this is a prophecy that Jesus Christ wants to be made very significant, a very significant prophecy that we need to know about. In fact, it is a monumental sign about when Jesus Christ is going to come to this earth, and also the terrible things before he gets here, the great tribulation and the day of the Lord. So we have to be concerned about all of that. But let me read to you Malachi 4 and verse 5 again. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So it is great and it's dreadful. And that time frame includes the great tribulation and that day of the Lord disaster that God has to bring upon the world to bring them to their senses. But it is also a great prophecy because it's concluded by the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. What could be more important than that? But it is also a dreadful, dreadful day of the Lord. Much suffering is coming, and you can see it building right now. You don't have to watch the news very much to know that or read about it in the news. But God said he would send a prophet, a man, just before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and there'd be all kinds of intense terror, but just a kind of a mesmerizing conclusion to that, and that is with the second coming of Jesus Christ and bringing peace to this earth forever. Now that is something that people can scoff at if they want to, and some do. But still, it's in the Bible, and anybody can prove it. Anybody, even a child, can prove it. And it's one of the most staggering prophecies in all the Bible. And it's talked about in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So it's really critical that we understand this according to Christ's own words. But there, you see, that man who came and is gone was a sign of when that great and dreadful day of the Lord would come. Now, since He is gone, you can imagine how urgent that it is that we understand this if we really do believe God and the Bible. I mean, this is one of the strongest warnings. In fact, I think it may be the strongest warning in all the Bible. And it's also one of the most majestic and wonderful prophecies in the Bible as well. You can read all of this in Malachi's Message, a book we have that explains all of that, how this Elijah type has come and gone already, and what he did while he was here, and why God sent him. Now it is a dreadful day of the Lord. You can see it building already when you look at the terrorism in the Middle East and how Russia's now moving into the Middle East, and they've already gotten a stronghold and are just pushing themselves in to get control of the Middle East, and immigrants are just fleeing into Europe by the millions. And China's gobbling up territory that's not their own in the Far East, and especially in the South China Sea. You have Russia has already taken Crimea and other parts of the Ukraine, and now they're into Syria. So these are great powers, Russia and China, and they are united in what they're doing. And they are moving and just gobbling up parts of the world, and nobody is there to stop them, it appears. But they're in for a bit of a shock themselves. And our booklets that we'll give you, or books, will explain all that to you. But at the same time, the United States and the United Kingdom and the Jewish nation in the Middle East, they're all deeply divided among themselves. So that's not united we stand, divided we fall. But weapons of mass destruction are being proliferated all over this earth. All over this earth. Now let me read you verse 6 of Malachi 4 again. And he, this is talking about a man. This is this Elijah type that would come just before the day of the Lord. A man. See, let's not spiritualize this away. He's talking about a man coming and delivering a message just before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Notice what it says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So he is working, this man worked with physical families. This is a real man that worked with real families. And that's how alive your Bible is if you really believe what it says. I mean, it's just amazing how easy it is to prove the Bible if you believe what it says. And you can prove everything in it. Christ said, prove all things. Or the Bible does. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21 says that. But here it talks about in verse 6 about the where it talks about the he's going to smite the earth. It actually means the inhabitants of a region, and what is it, this whole book is condemning God's own ministers in His own church. That's what he's talking about. So he said, look, he's telling these ministers, if you don't teach this family message I'm talking to you about, you're going to lose your eternal life. Now that tells you how serious this prophecy is. And it means just utter destruction. And it's worse than even what most people think it is when they usually just look at it physically. But this is really about spiritual focus. And that's what we ought to be thinking about. Notice now, let me show you where this is in the New Testament. And it's really important that you understand this. Matthew 16 and verse 28. Let's start there. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. So they're going to see the coming of the Son of Man. Well, that was over 2,000 years ago, about 2,000 years ago. And obviously he didn't come then in this setting that he's talking about here. He's talking about the second coming. But it's a vision. I'll show you that as we go along here. This is a vision where he was going to show you his second coming, or show the disciples his second coming. He's telling us about it. And it's in the context of this end time Elijah. Now this all ties together with Malachi 4 verses 5 and 6. I hope you'll take note of that. And it has the most wonderful message in the Bible. And we have here, really, this end time Elijah is the number one messenger in this end time. And it is a man delivering a message that is the most wonderful message you could possibly hear, and also the most terrible message you could hear in terms of a warning before the good news gets here. So we need to all really take note of this. You see, this is has a great hope, and this man prepared the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And you need to know how he did that. He prepared the way for him, and you can see here in just a moment how he did that in a specific way. Notice verse 5 of Matthew 17, the next chapter. And there really should be no chapter break there. This all flows in one scene. Verse 5, while he spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him, my beloved Son." Take note of that. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." Now remember that Malachi 4 verses 5 and 6 is about an Elijah coming, a man coming and turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. But we know that God and the Word didn't become Father and Son until the Father begot Christ in the womb of Mary. And then they became Father and Son. So it's very critical that you understand here that this is a Father-Son message. It's a family message, and it ties in beautifully with Malachi 4 verses 5 and 6. And I haven't frankly noticed before just how wonderfully it ties together with Malachi 4 verses 5 and 7 until this morning. I saw it much more clearly and much more deeply, I think, than ever before. But here is the Father speaking out of a cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son." Now it's Father, Son. It's about bringing families together and getting them prepared to enter into the family of God. God is opening up the whole family to anybody that wants it. And he's going to save most of this world in spite of them, what they're doing and what they always usually try to do. But you see, it goes from a human family to a spiritual family. And it's all just one flowing, majestic, absolutely has all the majesty you could even imagine when it's talking about this God family. Or it could be called the God kingdom as well, but it is a family. If you want a Bible definition of what the gospel is, here it is. It's the good news of the coming family or kingdom of God, which administers the government of God, which, well, Lucifer failed to do, and the angels, the one-third of the angels. But the family of God is going to rule over this, the angels and the universe. That's why you are here. It's why I'm here. It's the very purpose of our being. This is why we were born, is to enter into the family of God. And that's what this end time Elijah was showing everybody. It was a family message. And it shows you how sanctified the family, of the biblical family is, and how it's set apart. And God told those ministers, if you don't teach this message about the family, the God, the family, and how it must be focused and trained and improved, then you're going to lose your salvation. Is that really an important message? Well, I think God could say nothing to make it sound more important. So he really does warn his ministers about that. And we need to keep that in mind. But let's read verse 9 now. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision. You see, it's a vision. It's not what he didn't actually come. That wasn't his second coming. He just showed them what it was going to be like. And it scared the daylights out of them. What scared them was the Father speaking out of the cloud, but I'm sure this vision had something to do with that too. But anyhow, he said, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Then let's read verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah, it should read, must first come? That the Elijah must first come. First come before what? Well, before the second coming of Christ. The same thing that we read in Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. And if you look at your Bible, if you have a, it's in my Bible, and it is most Bibles, but they have a center reference there. And after you read verse 10, it'll point to Malachi 4 and verse 5. That's what they're talking about. That prophecy I read to you in the beginning, that's what it's all about. And it's about the God family, bringing mankind into the God family. That's why the God and the Word established the Father and the Son. See, this was a new message that was being delivered. And Christ was saying, this is my Son, or God was, the Father was saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is a family message. And God wants you to know that you are here to be brought into that family. Verse 11, and Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Before the second coming of Jesus Christ, he's going to come and restore all things. And that means all the vital truths of God. Shows you how deceived this world is. Everything is going to be restored. That all the important essential doctrines are going to be restored by this man in the church, not in the world, in the church. But I want to show you that that shows he's preparing the way for something really, really wonderful. Now, so you can see why he was such a sign and why this is such a really a mind-boggling prophecy, but it shows how mankind is going to have all of his problems solved and is about to live in peace and joy and happiness forever. That's very important. Now, Peter said, and he's talking about the people of this world, whether they're religious or non-religious, he said that God is not willing that any should perish. I mean, everybody's going to have a chance to be in the family of God if they want to be there. God is not willing that any, not any, should perish. He wants them into his family. God, the Father, the Son, and more sons. And those that come out now and do God's work are going to be the bride of Jesus Christ. If they yield themselves to God before the second coming, that is the most wonderful reward there is in the Bible. Now, let me just read a quote to you from Herbert W. Armstrong. He said just 4 months before, that was before he died, he spoke to the church, and here's what he said, September 16, 1985, there was an Elijah to come and to restore things to the church. That has happened. And what has been restored is the government of God and many of the truths, at least 17 or 18 principal vital doctrines of the church. So a man has come and done that. Now, look, we have to believe what God says if we're going to follow Christ. And if you want to go on and read verse 12, that's where the reference is to Malachi 4 in verse 6. Now, I don't have time to get into Ezekiel 28, but there in verses 14 and 15, you can see that Lucifer, the covering cherub there at God's own throne, was anointed to rule over this earth with one third of the angels, and he failed. And then he was tested on the earth, and all those angels were tested, then they were going to all of the angels be sent out into the universe to rule it. But they failed, and now God has to recreate himself in man, knowing that is the only way to rule this world. And if you think that God rules this world, or you're not thinking biblically, because Satan is worshipped in this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. And Revelation 12 and verse 9 says he's deceived the whole world. But anyhow, you need to understand that God will protect his people from all of these problems, but you're going to have to realize why God sent the end time Elijah and what his purpose was. He prepared the way for Jesus Christ. And how did he do that? Well, let's look at Acts 3 and verse 19. I'll quickly read this to you. Here is how he specifically prepared the way for the second coming of Christ. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. A refreshing, or a time, it means a recovery of breath, like you're regaining your whole life, which you didn't have, we haven't had for a long time. It's a revival. But notice, here's the key word in verses 20 and 21. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven shall receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy, restoring something that had been taken away, you see, is being restored. What is it? What did Satan take away from the world? Well, he took away God's rule. He was sent here to rule. God anointed him to rule. And he had been right there as a covering cherub over the throne of God and been trained for that job, and yet he rebelled. And now Jesus Christ has to return and restore all things to this world, that is, the government and all of those wonderful truths of God. Well, now that is exactly what the end time Elijah did in the church. And so he prepared the way for the second coming, when Jesus Christ is going to do the same thing to the entirety of this earth. It says there in Ezekiel 28, if you want to look at it a little more closely and study that, about Lucifer, that he was doing fine until iniquity was found in him, or lawlessness. He didn't like the way God ruled. He didn't want to rule God's way. He wanted to rule his own way. And he rebelled against God and tried to overthrow God. And it proved to God that the angels could not be qualified to rule over the universe. And so he decided to recreate himself in man. And he does it through the family and through entering into the God family. So we'll be very, very, very God beings, sons of God, in the family of God. Now that's his plan. That's the beautiful plan that God has, and it ought to just about make us faint when you think about this. See, God says, I will send Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And he's going to build the family of God. And he promises that those that will get involved today and get God's message out to this world are going to be the very bride of Jesus Christ and help him establish God's rule and administer God's rule not only over this earth but over the entire universe. That's what this is all about, and that's what God wants to show man, but man is, it seems, intent on rebelling again and again and again, and God is going to have to get his attention in a more powerful way, which will be a lot of serious trouble. So that's a wonderful message for all of us. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
The end time Elijah died in 1986, but God did not. Still, the great majority of God's own people rebelled against the family message that Herbert W. Armstrong taught. Only one church is truly upholding Mr. Armstrong's legacy today. To learn where God moved his work after a stunning departure from the truth, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, Malachi's Message to God's Church Today. This booklet will help you understand many biblical prophecies of a great falling away from the truth in this end time. Armed with the precious truth in this booklet, you can follow God's command to hold fast. The book of Revelation provides a time frame for all biblical prophecy. The book of Daniel provides the key to understanding the book of Revelation. These books actually reveal how the end time Elijah's coming fits into the prophetic time frame. To understand this startling prophetic sign, request Daniel Unlocks Revelation. This booklet will fill you with urgency to perform great spiritual deeds in the remaining few moments before Jesus Christ's second coming. All our literature is available free of charge with absolutely no cost or obligation to you. Order now.